been like.
Here's my other dumb theory. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
I think sometimes if you get caught within the cyclone of a banger tweet, like if you're replying to somebody's banger tweet, or if you're quote tweeting someone's banger tweet and that gets some legs, I'm wondering if that leads to, oh, this guy's funny and he does a podcast.
That's true.
Oh, these guys have funny takes. Oh, and you go to their pinned tweet and it's their latest show. That's cool. I don't know if it's, and I'll tell you right now, Jess, now we're really getting into the thick of it. I've really been thinking the last 2 weeks about spending the money, the $10 a month or whatever, for the podcast to get verified. Because I think if we do that, we're going to instantly, one, grow followers, two, grow listeners, three, get that stupid little bump that you get when you're on the paid platform where you're basically showing up outside of an ad. You're showing up more in the For You's. You're That's just true. Fucking getting your shit up in the algorithm mix because you're paying for it.
Yeah, we'll have to look into it for the show. I think their like ad-free prices have gone up.
No shit.
But I don't think anything. I don't think it's like outrageous. It's
even
not
if
like,
it's $10, even if it's $10 or $12, I don't think that's.
I think it might be closer to 20 now.
Are you kidding me? Oh shit! I mean, yeah. Well, that's let me throw that bitch out. 10, 12, whatever. 20.
Like, now, when I tried it, and I had like the little blue check mark for a minute, it was only like $8 a month or $10, $9. Like it wasn't a big deal. But then, like when I quit it and then came back. Like Elon Musk fucking like was like, oh shit, man, I can get all these motherfuckers want a blue check mark. And
yeah,
pay for
see?
It. That's what he's doing.
So this is why I'm thinking if this is it's like the zone. It's like the year one, you had a great deal. Year two, it's like, hey, the deal's going up. And then year three, it's like, oh, y'all are I'm out. Fuck y'all. Y'all went up. It might be like that. YouTube TV too, where it's like the first year, it's like, damn, I'm only paying $50. I get all these channels, and now it's like fucking 80. It's like, oh, it's not as great anymore.
This is That Other Sports Shit. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We took a week off and we are feeling really good. We're rested, we're rejuvenated, we're a little bit revived. We are bang loaded and we are coffee loaded, caffeine flowing through the body
to
make us swole and out of control, like the hashtag says. We're ready to do this yet again. Today's show, I want to first off start by saying thank you to any new listeners, and obviously thank you to the older listeners. We appreciate each and every single one of you. We'll do shout outs at some other time. The way the show is going to go today, we're going to kickstart things because I just think, Jay and I think, it's Hot Topic City right now. And that is the Roman and the Cody and the Rock just fiasco, right? Fiasco. It's a full-blown fiasco. We don't know where it's going to go. I had told you folks, if you listened to like a show or two ago, I told you what I thought about Cody. And it's coming to fruition right now before my very eyes. I feel validated right now. But we will talk about that along with our takes on WrestleMania and The Rock and Roman and Cody and just other things that are going on in professional wrestling. We will then get to the fight night that's coming up. Maybe not exactly the fight night, but we will talk some Conor McGregor talk. And Dana White has some interesting things to say about his future fights with UFC, which do not look like it's going to be at UFC 300 like we all thought. After that, of course, we have to get to the Super Bowl. Was it like Super Bowl? Like, I don't even know what number it is. Like, it's just the Super
Bowl. I'm looking at LIV. So what is that in Roman numerals?
Roman numerals.
Rough style. Roman numerals. What is LIV again?
I have no idea. It's like 50. I want to say like 50 something.
Four.
54. Is it 54? Okay.
54.
So we have the Super Bowl coming up. All you Super Bowl conspiracy theorists with the colors on the logo, you were wrong. We have two red teams. We have two red teams, two of them. The 49ers representing the NFC and the Kansas City Chiefs representing the AFC yet again. I have to now not only put up with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid and have them shoved down my throat as to how good and great and godly they all are, but now I got the damn Swifties to deal with as well. Oh my God, there's so much going on. Let's kick it off with my introduction of my boy, my homie, my brother from another mother, holding it down California style, Fresno till the day he dies, Jason Valdez.
We're mopping up like you wouldn't believe Super Bowl 58.
Woo! Jeff. Not 54.
Not 54.
We're talking.
So,
yeah.
We're just not. If you're looking for people to read Roman numerals correctly, you've picked the wrong show. If you're looking to have a little fun, Jack, you picked the right show. Jess has already kicked it off. So shout out new listeners. Shout out old listeners. We love you all. We appreciate you. Jess and I were really kicking the can here pre-show on combat sports stuff. And there is some stuff out there. There was last week's UFC on ESPN. I disagree with a lot of the online comments on the main event. A lot of people didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it. We're not really going to kick the can, I believe, on this week's UFC. Maybe a little bit. We may dip our toes into it. I don't think we're going to do anything gambling related. We're not going to talk about Fury, Usyk being moved, even though that to me is still
huge
the fight
bummer.
Of the year.
Huge
don't think that there's that much of a conspiracy to it. The guy got a bad cut. People spar for 7 to 10 days out of a main fight. Seen it happen before. Seen it happen in a gym, Jess. Watching a guy sparring with he had the headgear on, but like the light headgear.
Yeah.
Had a fight that week, and it was one of those things. End of the sesh, and a guy walked in and went, "Hey, let me just get 3 rounds with you real quick." He went, "No problem." Hopped in and boom, they just hit heads, and that was it.
It was weird, actually. The Fury cut. It looked like it was almost like an errant elbow, like a guy kind of threw like a hook.
The true boxer's cat, right?
And the hook, like, it was a follow-through hook. Like, he's not trying to hurt him, obviously, right? Like, they're just
fine. Nah.
And the guy just got nicked. And you know what? That's one of the – I mean, you've seen it – like you said, you've seen it live. We've all seen it on TV, like in watching combat sports, whether it's boxing or cage fighting. Like, that area of the eye is just super soft. And there's nothing protecting it. It's like skin and literally bone. Like, if you get hit there, that shit's splitting.
And when you're – you know, 30, 40, 50 fights into the game and 10, 15 years into boxing, you've been boxing your entire life. There's, you know, that skin is going to, some skin's going to toughen and some skin's going to scar and open easier. And that's just one of those spots. It sucks. But I'm still looking forward to that fight. So, Jess, we will tackle some combat sports. We will tackle the Super Bowl. I don't know if we're doing wacky and goofy spread. What is it? What do you call those things? Yeah, we usually do. I feel like every year I say let's not, and then we start doing them, and then we start having fun, and then we do like 10 of them. So we'll see. We'll see where we get guided today, where the stream, the lazy river takes us to, Jess. But let's start with some WWE. Let's start with some wrestling. You know, it's unfortunate. It is Wednesday night. Wednesday, you know what that means. AEW Dynamite tonight, but I feel like no one is talking about Dynamite despite it having the Sting Darby Allin tag team title match, despite Swerve When I Drive Strickland Ooh. Versus Hangman in a winner goes and wrestles for the championship at a pay-per-view. It's an overall stacked card, but I feel like no one on my social media wrestling circle is talking about it. People are talking about Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. People are talking about tomorrow. What's going to happen at this big event where they're going to announce the main events? Is Cody going to, you know, bum rush the stage and claim his spot, his crown, if you will? Is he going to, like with the Money in the Bank, but instead it's his Royal Rumble contract where he goes, no, wait, I actually do. There's a change in my mind. I've seen 400,000 We Want Cody hashtag tweets. So this inspired me, Rock. Go fuck yourself. Who knows, Jess? But let's start with Friday night, right? Because a quick recap. I'm watching this. I'm texting with shout out our boy Brian Black. I'm texting with Brian and Art. You know, you have that jaw hits the floor moment, followed by, oh, he's really gonna do this. He's really gonna give up his spot. My jaw was on the floor, followed by my conspiracy, which I've floated on this show previously, which is I believe that will be a Roman double night main event. You get Roman Cody night one, you get Roman Rock night two, Roman loses night one, Roman wins night two. But give me your scratch the surface thoughts, Jess. This is interesting to me, your perspective, and here's why. Because one, you were on the Cody thing last week where you did say, and some would say yes, it's a hot take, but you don't think he's a superstar, you know, Hogan level, Rock level, Stone Cold level, Brett the Hitman Hart level. And here comes The Rock, who is, I believe, one of your favorite wrestlers of all
time.
He is. Walking in and just
gobbling up his spot
in the main event as of now. Give me some thoughts, Jess.
So I'm going to start off with a silly thought just so you guys can laugh along with me. The Rock is so fucking juiced right now that just walking from the entrance top of the ramp to the bottom and then trying to cut that first promo, he was out of breath. Like, his cardio is non-existent. And that's what happens when we allegedly juice.
It's not even limited. It's not even low. It's just non-existent.
It's not the jitters, because he's been there, done that. Like, he's been in the spotlight for years and years and years. No, I love The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He's literally, you know, he's literally the people's entertainer, right? Like, he did the wrestling thing. He's played college football at a high level. You know, he's done everything that he's done is been at a high level, but professional wrestling was his niche. It's a family guided niche. You know, his dad, his cousins, brothers, you know, sisters. Now his daughter even is inside the squared circle as well, or at least training to be, right? There's no other, like, what do you call them? Legends? There's no other legends of WWE that could come in and fill an arena like The Rock can right now. And that's because most people at The Rock's age don't look like The Rock. Like, even professional wrestlers.
And just quickly to interrupt you, I don't mean to. I think what you were onto is 100% accurate. It's impossible to be going into your 50s. I believe he's 52. In your 50s and be that jacked and not be on some type of enhancement.
We'll call it enhancement just for the sake of not getting sued by his department.
Hey, we've been blowing up here, Jess. Let's be careful here. We got to walk a line.
We got to walk the line. We're close to McAfee level right now, so we're trying to.
We want to, yeah, we got to tighten it up.
We got to tighten it up a little bit.
You don't want to get those McAfee lawsuits. I'm not trying to see Brett Favre.
No, I love The Rock, but okay. So that's my little silly take on The Rock right there. Let's cut back to Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, he helped revolutionize AEW. AEW is now a hit. Like, everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. So much that WWE doesn't necessarily try to compete with it. They just know that it's there, right? Like, AEW is not going anywhere. It's going to be an institutionalized professional wrestling organization. It's just
going to be the alternative to WWE.
100%. And I think that for those fans out there who still want to deny that, you know, do it. You can deny it all you want to, but it's obvious now. Tony Khan released their financials from last year. Insane numbers across the board. Like, it is making money hand over fist. And professional wrestling is something that's always done that. So once you find your spot, you can consistently make money hand over fist all the time. And that's what he's doing. And he's putting on a good show. And he's signing big contracts. And they're even, like, producing in-house stars, which is what I enjoy about AEW. Back to Cody. Cody then has, like, some sort of rift if you will, or that urge, that itch to become WWE champion. He wants to be like his dad. He wants to wear the belt. And so, like Dusty, he moves on. He goes back. He gives up his spot in AEW. He goes back. He gets a little spot, a roster spot with WWE. And people weren't sure if it was going to work. And then everybody knew that Cody was going to push for the Roman story. And that's what's happened. We are now we have now culminated into where we are right now, which is Cody comes in, cuts this bullshit whack promo.
Oh boy.
Bullshit promo that even he was uncomfortable cutting. And Jay, you're a Fiend fan. Like, you know the game of professional wrestling. You can't sit there and tell me that he looked like he was okay with cutting this promo.
I think that there's an overreaction of people that said he looked like he wanted to cry. I don't think he wanted to cry.
He always
looks
like he wants to cry.
But that's fair. I believe he's an emotional cat. I believe there was, he looked the same way that anyone would look if you got demoted from your job, but you had to go in front of 4 million people and acknowledge it. That's exactly what fucking happened. You know, I think that he's in a tough scenario, especially if this isn't something that he knew about. Because if this is something he knew about in September, October, November, you know, even early December, you know, okay, it makes sense. There's no reason to win the Royal Rumble if I'm not challenging for WrestleMania. Now, the way that I understand it, Jess, and I want you to get back into what you were saying, the way that I understand it is when The Rock got a piece of this WWE, when he got tied in with TKO and the Endeavor and all this, he got a piece of creative control. And within that piece of creative control, he said, I want to wrestle Roman. So if all this is signed on, you know, this, let's say January 5th, then when is Cody truly finding out? When is everybody truly finding out? Is everybody truly finding out, you know, the night after the Royal Rumble? Are they finding out before the Royal Rumble? If that's the case, then why even have them win? If this is just a big, elaborate work, which is where I'm kind of starting to lean now, then okay, it makes sense to go, the dominoes are falling into place the way that, like, Cody gives it up, Rock comes in, there's a big backlash, and now you figure out whoever you figure out how to fix that, whether you do the night one, night two, the triple threat, The Rock is an enforcer, however the fuck they figure it out. There's different ways that you can, I don't want to say clean the mess, but take the paint and produce the painting, if you will.
So, first of all, I enjoy that take, and I think that there's obviously parts of that can be done. And so one thing real quick, whether Cody knew about it coming up, or he was caught backstage and said, hey, Cody, change of plans. I just got a call from Dwayne. We're gonna do X, Y, and Z. You're gonna have to take a back seat to this.
You're being demoted.
Whether it was backstage or months prior, I feel bad for him because this is a guy who really, like, I will give him this. He bleeds and breathes.
I was waiting for this, Jeff. I was really hoping that you would give a little bit of us.
I will acknowledge him.
It's the last time any of us have been acknowledged on the show for the rest
Cody
of the show.
Cody Rhodes lives and breathes professional wrestling.
Jesse,
he loves it. You can see it in his eyes when he's out there. It's a different look. It's not just your normal guy. Like, I will compare it to Seth Rollins. I don't believe that Seth Rollins truly loves professional wrestling. I think that he knows he's good at it. And I think that he enjoys it to some degree. But when you put the two in the same ring, the passion is different. Cody has a true passion for the sports entertainment business.
And to go old school here, Jess, we've always grown up with the man, the guy that's on the road 250 nights a week to 300 nights a week, wrestling in little towns, wrestling in your big arenas, main eventing your pay-per-views, but also main eventing your small town shows that aren't, you know, your house shows, if you will. That holds a lot of weight and substance, and you're usually rewarded at WrestleMania
with not only the big payday, but the finishing of the story, if you will. So it just makes no sense to me to go for a year straight, we're going to book you this way, long-term booking, if you will, only to 5 days after the Royal Rumble go yank. That to me just it just doesn't make sense.
And for The Rock, like, don't get me wrong, I sat there and I will blow The Rock all day, right? Like, you know, he's my dude, right? Like, but you're talking about a 50 plus year old man who, yes, at one point in time held the most prestigious title in professional wrestling, but in his era it was a loaded gun era, like Stone Cold, Taker, Kane, you know, Big Show, Triple H, like the laundry list of legends that came from that era is unmatched at this point. I don't believe it can be matched in any other era.
I want to wrap up your thoughts on Cody giving it up, and then The Rock comes in. So you go, do you go the high low, or are you laughing at Cody as he's walking out?
No, absolutely, like he's gonna cry? Absolutely not. I actually feel real shitty for the guy.
Okay.
Like I said,
but you're also excited to see The Rock. But I'm saying that Friday night, or whenever you watch that clip, you're still fucking excited to see The Rock.
I'm super when the music hits. Obviously, I'm super stoked. I'm like, yes,
yeah.
And the first thing that I think of is The Rock's getting the Roman. Like, as soon as he comes out, like, there's no other reason for The Rock to be there except that Roman and Rock, that story will happen.
Social media.
And so Cody's out there and he's having this conversation with The Rock. And there's like this funny meme, right? Where The Rock is like leaning over, giving him the handshake. They kind of run in, do the, you know, the secret side, like, hey, let me.
Yeah, they have the words.
They have the words, right?
I don't mean to interrupt you. I text Brian and went, whatever he's whispering to him right there, the internet's going to be talking about it for a week.
Oh, yeah.
And they still are. And we're talking about it.
Well, right? I'm telling you. So my fill in was, your story is truly finished, bitch.
That's mean.
The Rock.
That's mean.
But let's be real. Like, we can't sit here. We can't sit here and act.
I don't think like that.
The Rock is not saying that. But The Rock knows who he is. He knows his value to the company still. You're talking about a guy that hasn't full-time wrestled or even really part-time wrestled in, like, what, 10 years?
I think 10 years is...
And now all of a sudden 15. We're talking about putting him in the main event, the Stars Upon the Stars match, the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt, or World Wrestling Entertainment Championship belt. And we're pushing a not necessarily young, but we're pushing a younger, like, truly loved by the fans guy for him. Like, that's when you know that your pull is pull, you know, you have that much pull. And The Rock, so, I'm not saying that The Rock even attempted this first. I think that Triple H, I think it was probably one of his ideas. He's like, shit, man, I got to get this whole Vince thing out of the way. I got to get that out of people's mouths. I got to make people talk about WWE in positive light. What can I do to make this happen?
Well, and to further illustrate that, you go, Cody is a superstar. The Rock is a mega star. He's a Hollywood star. He's an international star. Like, you flip through your channels, you're going to find a Rock movie now. Like, they look at that as just WrestleMania is their show of shows, their Super Bowl. They want to have that crossover level talent. And this is why, to them, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer, but they see it as the proper equation to go, yeah, you know what? Actually, Cody can wait. Yeah, you know what? We'll figure it out. Because that's a big money match. It is. It's a big money match. There's no way around it, Jeff. Like, this is where I'm at. I think it's fair for wrestling fans, especially the wrestling fans our age, 40 and above, to go, that sucks, I have empathy for Cody, but man, I really do want to see The Rock versus Roman.
Yeah, but that's messed up.
I know it's probably going to stink. It's not going to be a great match. It's not going to be a great match. There's gonna be moments in the match where you go, this is fucking cool. You know, the people's elbow and all that shit. But what's like, it's not gonna be Kenny Omega versus fucking Bryan Danielson. It's when you look at what they did last year with the main events of WrestleMania, where night one, they did Usos versus Sammy and
Kevin
Owens. That was a fucking great wrestling match.
Yeah.
That was a great wrestling match. And then you get the great moment where Sammy and Kevin win. The next night was Roman versus Cody. Now, again, it wasn't necessarily your five-star, what some would consider the five-star match, but it was a great match. It was a fun, great match. Cody brought the best out of Roman and vice versa. The problem is, and I've been saying this forever, Roman has one match and one match only. He's going to have that same match. You're going to get the same. He's like the fucking Rolling Stones. You know they're going to come out, they're going to play those 12 hits, and then they're going to bounce.
Yep.
That's Roman. He's going to come out. He's going to play his hits. The match is going to go about 15 to 25 minutes.
Bing, bang, boom.
And then the fucking Superman punch. And
beer.
Fucking
get butt. Done.
See ya. See ya. And it worked. And then fucking fingers up. Seen it for fucking 4 years now. If anything, Jess, I wonder how long can Roman truly carry The Rock in a pro wrestling match? Now, let's give Rock the benefit of the doubt. He's got February and March to get in pro wrestling shape, right? He can go work in the NXT center. He can have whoever he wants flown to a professional wrestling ring wherever he wants, because that's what they're going to do for him, right? He could fucking have Roman flown to his fucking house.
A matter of fact, if he's smart, he should probably ask Roman, because right, that way at least they know each other's body movement and stuff in the ring.
They have to have the word I'm looking for is be in sync.
The chemistry.
If you will, the chemistry. But also, if you haven't wrestled in legitimately 10 years outside of, you know, you step in and wrestle, you do a little fucking minute here, a little 30 seconds there. You got to get into pro wrestling shape. And I heard CM Punk talking about this, where it's not just it's having the gas tank of picking up guys that are 250 pounds and above and dropping them for 10 minutes straight and looking good doing it. That shit's not easy. So is The Rock at 50 whatever really going to be able to go out? And I'm talking bell to fucking bell. Right, because they're gonna have a 10-minute intro, 5-minute intro for The Rock, and a 5-minute intro for Roman, and all that.
$1 million for the fireworks. Yes,
and then at some point they'll ring the bell and they'll have a big stare down that'll last a minute or so. Yeah. And then they've got to wrestle. You've got to actually wrestle. And this is where I think it's going to get tough for Rock. Because once he gets in a minute 8, minute 10, minute 12, minute 15, are you going to wrestle a 15-minute match at WrestleMania? Are you going to wrestle a 20-minute match?
Yeesh.
Minute 15 to 20?
Fuck that.
My man's
going to
look,
I can't do that.
My dog's going to look like Naganu. In the UFC round 5, fucking taking all the oxygen up and whatever.
This is exactly the reason why when we've had like Iron Man matches in the WWE, they've never been with dudes as big as The Rock.
The Rock had an Iron Man match.
Back when The Rock was like 230 pounds and kind of flabby.
In 2001 when he was 28 and you could do it. You know what I mean?
Now at 52 when he's 280 fucking pounds of solid muscle. That like
different time.
It's a big difference, man. He's gonna have to. That heart's gonna be pushing blood like a motherfucker.
And you're doing. And you're. It's not show muscles, dude.
No,
it's not show muscles.
No,
it's go muscles.
Yeah,
it's 15 minutes. Like I said, I just think they can book this match properly with. And if you're gonna do 20 minutes. Minutes 16 through 20, you better have the fucking the Wild Samoans, Rikishi, the fucking Usos, the fucking Headbang, whoever the fuck is part of this tribal community, Jacob Fatu, you better have them all in the front row doing some shit to get that last 5 minutes.
You
got to
have the Rock's mama and everything out there, man.
You got to have every single family member moved to that section where you can basically go, okay, this 3 or 4 minutes is going to be about getting Rock some oxygen. Wow.
a lot of oxygen.
All the oxygen in the building again. Because hey, remember the Rock would be drinking the waters like in between matches, like in pay-per-views. Are you gonna this is where the brilliant editing and camera guys are gonna go. We go tight shot here with Roman getting slapped by every Samoan in the building for fucking 4 minutes. It's gonna be like a Three Stooges level of comedy where he's getting slapped by Rikishi. He's getting slapped by The Rock's mom. He's getting slapped by fucking whoever else is the Usos.
They need to have like a standoff, right? You got to have the Usos, right? You got to have, is it Jay or Jimmy? It's Jimmy that's with Roman right now.
You got to have Solo.
You got to have what's his name? The dude with the thumb.
Solo Sikoa.
You got to have him, and then Jimmy, and then you got to have
just all getting slapped around, and their ears pulled by the mom. The mom's pulling their ears.
You got to have like Rikishi, like stand off on him, and just like have his arms folded, and just Roman's just staring him down, and he's yelling at Rikishi, "Acknowledge me!" And Rikishi's just standing there.
That is when you do. The fucking Rock gets his gas, and then he goes, okay, I got a minute left. Jump back in the ring, fucking Rock Bottom, fucking this, and then you reverse it, then you hit me with the spear, you hit me with the punch, and I lose. And the fucking, you're the man, you're the head of the table. That's it. We just booked it.
With the booking being done, though, who wins this match?
Roman 1,000,000%. I'm standing on business here, Jess. I am not coming off of Cody Roman night one. Cody wins, and you get 24 hours of Roman's back is against the wall. The family's not going to help him. He hasn't lost. He hasn't wrestled back-to-back nights in X amount of years, and he beats the fucking Rock clean.
Yeah,
you got to do it. You got to do it.
So here's the other thing that I've been thinking about. If he beats Cody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially at WrestleMania. And I'm not saying that your theory of like maybe one night, two night works, because it could. But if that happens, then Cody has to win. In my opinion, Cody has to beat Roman at that time.
1,000,000%.
So you can't have a Cody-Roman square off right now, because Cody's going to lose. Roman's too hot of a commodity right now, and Cody is just simply not, at least to the face of the business. At least to the face of the WWE business, Cody is not the hottest.
No.
So Roman will beat him, and now you've had Cody lose to Roman several times.
Why
making another championship match between him and Roman makes absolutely no sense. Cody has now been absolutely cooled off. He's been sprayed with the fire extinguisher. He has no
heat
no more.
Now
Cody has to run back with his tail between his legs. He's got to go back, and he's got to go back to some jobber fights. He's going to have to go back to a Randy Orton thing. He's going to have to go back to, you know, maybe he goes and beats up Jimmy Uso because he's pissed. Maybe he turns heel because he's angry at how the situation's been dealt. But you put the Rock in, the Rock loses clean. You still have this whole Samoan culture feel, right? Everybody, like, they may not like the outcome, but The Rock acknowledges Roman for what he's now done and become in the business, right? Kind of like a passing of the torch. Then we never see The Rock again.
Rock
moves off. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, in like a, you know, even in a
Wrestling capacity.
He comes back every now and then, beats up a couple dudes, throws the Rock Bottom on somebody. But this is a match that he gets to fully have with a family member that he loves and trusts and respects, and then prop that guy up and just shoot his ass to the moon like 1985 Hulk Hogan.
So, first of all, I'm not going to let you walk away from your terrible Cody takes and you just absolutely bury him for another week. Outside of your Josh Allen is still the number one quarterback in the league, which I'm not sure why you're still tweeting that. These are your two worst takes. Josh Allen, number one quarterback in the league, and Cody is cool.
Most touchdowns in the NFL.
There was like 600,000 dislikes on the YouTube video. There's hashtag we want Cody for a week straight. There's people ready to fucking.
But I'm not people that are
threatening, that are death threatening. Have you looked at The Rock's replies on anything he puts on
the,
Instagram?
The business side of things. Cody does not see Cody. They don't see Cody as the man to carry the
torch. You're so wrong. But I believe the people that have, the 100 million people that have bought Cody belts and t-shirts and
hats. I saw a guy get a Cody tattoo, like the same neck tattoo.
Oh, the Cody tattoo is the new Monster Energy drink tattoo.
Yeah, that's weird.
1 million
people.
Percent.
People need to stop spending money on stupid shit.
No, I mean, listen, I'm gonna go. Just give me a little baby Cody tattoo on my finger. Why not? Yeah, good night,
just on the inside.
Right when he wins. Right when he wins the championship, so I can put the, like, you know how people have the Super Bowl or like the NBA championship the day that they won it. I'm gonna put the day that Cody won it in there in like old English writing. All right, so. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Cody stuff because, again, I see what you're doing.
I am in 100% agreement with you. Rock Roman. Roman wins. It's clean. No outside interference.
And I think if you do want to do Cody Roman down the line, that still works. He's still going to be hotter than a pistol. And when they do eventually do that match, it's going to be big business. Now, do they do it at SummerSlam? I don't know. That's still a big event. To me, the logical move is you do it in Madison Square Garden. You have him beat Roman in Madison Square Garden, the same place that his dad raised the title up, and then they took the title from him because he won. He won the match but didn't win the belt on a technicality. Yeah. You get that whole WWE loves moment. And that's a moment right there. Cody raising the championship over Roman in Madison Square Garden. But, Jess, if Roman loses to Cody, he's got a built-in excuse. My mind was so set on keeping the head of the table. My mind was so set on beating The Rock. It's a travesty that I had to wrestle both nights. It's a travesty that I had to wrestle you and then The Rock. I deserve a rematch. I need my rematch at next year's WrestleMania. Also, I do think, and listen, and we've done like a good 20, 25 minutes on wrestling, so we're going to keep moving. I also think, Jess, there is one more Rocky match, and it's going to be when Roman turns face and you can do Roman and Rock against whoever the baddies are. Whoever that, you know, whoever.
No, that works.
Let's say the Judgment Day, you know, or.
Another elite group of retards running around.
Or you do maybe not a WrestleMania, but maybe let's say, hey, we're going to do an old school Survivor Series style match where we have the Usos, Roman, and The Rock against the fucking four Judgment Day. And then they beat them up like a bunch of jabronis, and then The Rock.
Just
fucking rock bottoms, people's elbows.
The Rock goes up to mommy and asks her about pie. You gotta bring that back. I mean, if The Rock's here, let's talk about some pie.
Please. Just what do they call that these days? Isn't that like sexual assault? Just verbally sexually assault Rhea Ripley. Listen, Vince would love it. Do it for Vince.
Durag Vince would be like in his, he's right now, he's locked up in a room somewhere so no one can get to him.
And they took his phone.
He's smoking dubs like crazy. He's got a box of fucking ho-hos. He's got a little bowl of like steroids just so he can keep it, you know, in decent shape at like 89 years old.
He's got the Romanowski suitcase of vitamins.
And he's just sitting there with the durag in a fucking dab, just going to town.
He's got a durag. He's got a Black and Mild.
Talk about mommy's pie.
Yeah,
talk about
please.
Mommy's pie. Come on.
He read my mind.
Or you're fired.
He knows what the fans want. He knows what the fans want.
By the way, right. this podcast stands with durag Vince. I'm just gonna say that.
Yes. It's where we're at. Can we name this week's podcast? How do we mesh? Should we just go Super Bowl Durag Vince? Or is that, does that not work? Because I want to get Super Bowl in there, but I want to get Durag Vince Bowl? No.
Durag Bowl? No, because that sounds super racist.
Yeah, that's...
We
yeah.
don't want to go.
I think you have to... I think you have... Wait, I mean, well, let's keep workshopping.
We'll keep working on the name. I like this Durag Vince thing, though. I like it.
All right, I think we're done with the wrestling takes. Okay. I think we nailed it. Do you think... I think you said, too, you think The Rock beats Roman, right?
No, Roman wins. Roman beats Rock, and it's clean.
Okay.
That's the important part about it. We all know that a lot of championships are won dirty. Roman will beat The Rock clean, and that's going to be like his milestone.
That's Hulk Hogan laying down for the Ultimate Warrior. You got to lay down. This is it.
Sometimes.
It's what's best for
and business. It's not like The Rock has an ego. I mean, okay, his ego is probably huge, but when it comes to wrestling, he's always helped and put over the little guy. Like, if you look from the beginning of his career, you know, when he started becoming like The Rock, right? He kind of got past the Dwayne Johnson thing or Rocky Maivia thing, and he became The Rock. Like, he would lay down for dudes and put people over. And this is that time where he gets to do that for, like I said, a trusted, respected, and loved family member. It's the perfect tidal wave all crashing down at one time.
We're going to minimize our combat sports this week, ladies and gentlemen. I really want to talk about Conor McGregor because my mind is blown, and I clearly think that there is a disconnect between the UFC and Conor, and I'm not sure where it starts and where it ends. I don't know if it is a Conor's communication ended with Dana, and now it's only through the Endeavor people. I don't know if it's the Endeavor people don't want to deal with Conor, so they make Dana. So now there's just like this bad communication. Dana White was on McAfee a few hours ago. He was asked about Conor's fight, and Dana's reaction was, "We're hoping he will fight in the fall." If the momentum in my voice is lowered, it's because this disappoints me. I am full of fucking disappointment right now because I want to see Conor McGregor fight. And I don't know why we are waiting even past March or April. When is UFC 300? Isn't it like in March or April? What are we waiting for?
The next pay-per-view is 298. So there's still 99, and then that be had is 300. So we've got like months in between. It's not like this is happening next week.
Didn't they just change like the entire way that they drug test so Conor would be able to fight soon?
Yeah, basically. If anybody saw that shitty preview of Roadhouse, Conor's looking pretty thick. So.
He's a meaty boy.
Give me some
thoughts here. What do you think about here with Conor potentially delaying the fight again? Do you think it's contractual? Do you think there's a disconnect? Do you think he's just full of shit and full of hot air and he's talking about fighting because he keeps his name out there, but he's not in any hurry to fight?
I think that Conor McGregor has turned into the greatest personal sports promoter of his generation. Like, this guy, when he started, it was all about competition. It was all about winning belts. It was all about having championships and kind of putting that story, finishing his story, so to speak, to steal from Cody, to finish his story, coming up from the slums in Ireland, you know, slinging and banging to try to make a living, into, you know, competing professionally and now becoming one of the biggest, most iconic sports, you know, heroes of our time, right? And he's done that. He's accomplished all the things. He's fought Floyd Mayweather. He's done all the little side gigs. He's done some movie splits here and there, whatever. Now, you know, he's at the Roadhouse thing, which, by the way, I actually think it might be kind of entertaining. I'm just shitting you when I said, like, the shitty preview. It might be entertaining. I'm just saying that right now.
But
I definitely have watched a whole lot worse. But at this point in time, we've been hearing it for like probably what, like 3 to 5 years. Like, I'm gonna come back and fight. I'm gonna come back and fight. I'm in shape. I would have fought now if they would have let me. You know, all tweeting all this stuff like, hey, you know, such and such guy just signed the contract and I'll be there. Like, we hear it all the time. And I'm telling you, I don't necessarily think it's bullshit. I just think that he's self-promoting. He's keeping his name and his business, his brand alive, and he's done a great job of doing it. No one in the world would sit there and be like, if Conor didn't fight until 2026, people would still be fucking enthused about it. They'd be like, fuck, man, Conor McGregor's fighting at UFC 325. Like, let's fucking watch it. Like,
I said this to you before, Jess. The two guys that do a great job of keeping their name out there are Conor and Bones. Because every time there's a fight at 205, heavyweight, he just happens to mention himself. He happens to throw his shit out there. Every time there's like a circle that he's lassoed of like 12 fighters. Anytime they fight, he's like, I'm gonna get my shit in. I'm gonna make this about me. And Conor does it as well. Now, flip side, I feel like more guys randomly call Conor out, and he's gonna respond because he's not trying to be, you know, like, you know, he's not trying to look like a bitch. And also, like, well, you said,
respond.
And also, like you said, I think responding, he knows I'm going to hit send and this is going to get a fucking million views on Twitter within 24 hours. So that's, and then there's going to be the Mac Life that writes a story about it. And then fucking MMA Weekly is going to fucking do a think piece about it. So he knows kind of where his bread is buttered, if you will. There's me getting shit wrong, going the wrong way on something once again this show, two or three times already within this hour. But Jess, let me lay a quick over-under here for you.
All right.
I want to go – let's go June 1st. Over-under half a fight for Conor McGregor.
Between now and June. I'm going to say no.
It's under. All right.
Yeah, it's under. I'm taking the under.
September 1st?
I was thinking November.
Ooh, that's the fall.
Yeah.
Can I give you my honest?
That's right. You did say the fall, so I'm right. You know what? I wasn't even thinking about that, but you did say it, and I'm saying November. So there we go.
Can I give you my honest take right now?
Do it.
I don't think he's gonna fight this year. I don't think he's gonna fight this year. I think the Chandler fight's gonna get away from him. At some point, Michael's gonna go, fucking, I'm tired of waiting. I've got to fight. I can't wait another year for you to fucking dilly-dally and make movies and, you know, sponsored alcohol. Like, I got to fucking fight. I think that's going to fall through, and he's going to fucking push really, really hard for a Nate fight. And the money's not going to be right. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I tweeted this out earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if they can't get it figured out right now because of money. Now, is he pricing himself out knowing they won't give him a fight right now? Who knows? That again is where I think the Dana fucking Endeavor TKO disconnect comes in, because the UFC makes fucking fights like within 24 hours. Like, if Dana wants to get a fight done, it's done. So why all of a sudden did this go from he's fighting this year to he's fighting before 300? Well, he will probably see him at 300.
Well, why was he even like now the Ultimate Fighter stuff?
Because we all thought they were going to fight. Now, maybe they did this, did the Ultimate Fighter. Conor agreed to something, came back and said, you know what? Actually, I want more money. And they said, now go fuck yourself. We've already got an agreement. And here we are. I just don't understand. Is it pay? Is it the drug test? What's keeping us? Because Dana's usually real quick to call a motherfucker out. So what's keeping us, like, what's the transparency? What's keeping us from getting these fights done? It's either the money, it's either he's having issues passing drug tests, or something between his ears. God damn it, Jess, I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm just
my phone.
There's so many options to why this isn't happening.
Hey, really,
and
really
I'm,
quick.
I'm trying to like process really each one.
Do I sound double? Because I'm worried because my screen is showing.
No, you You sound good,
okay.
man.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, but what do you think? What could it be? Could it be something else? What do you think?
So I think it's like a little bit of everything that you mentioned, really. Like I know that that's, you know, kind of, you know, pushing, and we don't push on the show, pushes for pussies, but I'm gonna do it this time anyway. So it's a little bit of everything. Like, Conor is pricing himself out. I guarantee it. Like, Conor McGregor's price line is so huge right now. Like, he's wanting like $1.5 to $2 million a fight or some shit like that. Like, I guarantee it. It doesn't matter. And if it's depending on the bigger, you know, the fight, the more danger there is to losing that fight, he's going to be asking for more money. So there's that part too. And then there's like just the ego, the self-promoting part. Like, he wants to keep his name in. He's going to chit-chat and flap his gums at whoever wants to flap his gums back. But the problem is maybe, you know, fucking dude who just won his third fight in the UFC and is calling out, you know, Conor McGregor, there's no money. It doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? So he might mention a little something just to keep things going, but he's not serious about any of that. The Michael Chandler thing, I honestly think that he doesn't believe that Michael Chandler can beat him. So whether he takes the fight or not, I don't think that he really cares. And to be honest, I don't think Michael Chandler beats him either.
Really? I don't know. That's a tough fight.
It's a tough fight. It would be a good fight.
I think, well, it's a stylistic fight is what you're hoping, is Chandler does the thing where he goes, all right, I want to try an exchange with you. And then Conor still has that crazy precision. But the guy's fought like, what, 2 times in the last 4 years or some shit like that? Like,
when you can punch, you can punch.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't really ever go away, right?
He's like, always had good pop in his gloves. He's always had good speed.
When he was fighting at the lower level, fighting weights, like, he still had lots of pop, and he's still going to be able to hit things from different angles that guys can't. Now, if Chandler wanted to take him down and bully him, then he can beat him that way.
This is why, in my opinion, Conor is still one of the biggest draws in combat sports.
100%.
And I'm talking about boxing, mixed martial arts, fucking kickboxing, whatever. He's one of the biggest draws. There's no, you know, you can stick him in a cage with pretty much anybody, and it's going to do 1 million buys.
If he fought me there tomorrow, it would get 1 million buys.
I was just going to piggyback on that. You stick him in there with Nate, now we're like 1.5,
100%.
Maybe more, because that's a fight that people have been waiting fucking 8 years for. So, all right, Jess, let's keep it moving off of the combat sports stuff. But, hey, good. I went about 45, 50 minutes here between the pro wrestling, between the combat sports. We've got
There are free MMA event. Like, it's the UFC Fight Night. I can't even remember the title fight or the main fight. But there are some Jack good Hermanson. Fights. There, yeah, Jack Hermanson's fighting Joe Pfeiffer or something like that. Pfeiffer? I honestly don't know because I don't care about the guy. But Hermanson usually typically brings a good fight. All I'm saying is it's a freebie fight on ESPN Plus if you have it. So if you got it, go watch it.
Atta boy. All right, Jess. I have not pulled up the line. I believe I've known the line all week. I don't know if it's moved. Let me see. Do you have the line in front of you by any chance?
I do not, but I'm pulling it up now.
I got it. I'm not using what we've used for 1 million years.
Like San Francisco opened as a 2.5-point favorite.
Has it moved?
And since then, it is now currently a 2-point favorite in the Super Bowl.
You seen an over-under of 47.5? That's what I see.
Yeah, I see 47.5.
All right. All right, Jess. quick recap. Thoughts on Kansas City versus Baltimore?
Yeah. One reason, 8.1.3.7 why Josh Allen should be MVP is because Lamar Jackson cannot win in the playoffs.
Neither did Josh Allen.
He is not a playoff quarterback. He cannot win in the playoffs. He doesn't win in the playoffs. And Josh Allen simply does.
He's so full of shit right now. I love it. Does he have 2 more wins?
You like that? No, Josh Allen's got a lot more wins than.
Don't say a lot more, bro. It's not a lot more.
It is. Go check it out. I'm telling you, he's got at least three to four more playoff wins. Maybe more. I can't remember how many. So here we go. Lamar Jackson
struggled. They fumbled. They fumbled at the goal line. That was enormous.
Zay Jones fumble at the goal line was huge. Lamar Jackson taking that sack towards the end of the game was huge. The strip sack. Lamar Jackson trying to force it into, which, by the way, I'm also going to say, because I'm already on a rant, don't bitch about when Josh Allen tries to fit a fucking pass through four defenders and it might get tipped and picked when Lamar Jackson throws the same damn pass and gets intercepted. Any three of those defenders from Kansas City would have picked that off.
Equal opportunity criticism.
What it happens, though, is that here's what it is. Good quarterbacks, bad quarterbacks. When you're back against the wall, you try to make plays. Lamar was simply trying to make a play out of nothing. Could he have done something different? Should he have thrown the ball away? Could he have maybe just tried to scramble for a few yards? Sure. At that point in time, they were down double digits. The only thing going through his head was try to cut that deficit. So he launched a bad pass in the end zone, hoping and praying for something to happen. It just simply didn't happen. It happens, man. It's professional sports. We're not talking week one, two, three, or four of the NFL. We're talking about the AFC and the NFC championship game. Your line for mistakes needs to be so minimal by that game, because your goal is right on the doorstep. You're one step away. You're four quarters from the Super Bowl. So when you make those mistakes and they come back to bite you, like the Ravens had so many times throughout that game, including the fact that, like, in the regular season, you know, Jay, you and I, we would point out each week, Kansas City don't look right. They got, you know, the receivers don't look right. The defenders don't look right. Their secondary don't look right. But somehow, some way, they just would win football games. And I think that, honestly, I just discounted that. Like, personally, I did. I just discounted their wins. Yeah. I was like, oh, every week, oh, they don't look good, but they won 17-6. Oh, man, Patrick threw two picks, but they won 20-17.
Spent so much time focusing on Patrick and not enough on the defense.
Which the problem really was, is even in the games that they weren't looking like, you know, the 3 years ago or so, Kansas City Chiefs, dominant football team going 15-1 in the regular season, the problem is they were still winning football games. And that's all it takes. You just got to win fucking football games. Whether you win by a half a point or 20 points, it don't matter. You got to win the game. And the Kansas City Chiefs were doing that. And now we're in the playoffs. And Andy Reid is a son of a bitch when he's in the playoffs. So, I mean, you get playoff head Andy Reid calling these crazy plays. And he has played to the strength of the weakest parts of his football team. Yeah. And that is great fucking coaching.
It's a great call right there.
Okay. So he is calling the strengths of the weakest parts of his team and making it easy for those guys to catch passes and just run. He's making it easy for Mahomes to make quick reads. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, Travis Kelce, the biggest fucking most talented dude on the field, is always open 15 yards up the middle of the field.
Every time he catches a touchdown, I'm like, how?
I do the same thing. I'm like, wait, where were the middle?
Where's the safety? Why? How is he this open? What the fuck are they doing?
I want somebody, when Travis Kelce retires, to go back and make like a compilation of all of his touchdowns. And I want them to be counted. How many times he was wide fucking open.
You're going to get some Mahomes type spiral ones. Don't worry. We're not discrediting him.
No, not at all.
But this specific game, I was like, this playoff. I've been like, what the fuck?
And here's the thing that caught me the most about the Baltimore game is Kansas City played Baltimore almost identically, both offensively and defensively, the way that they played Buffalo the week before. They gave Buffalo some opportunities. They still made it rough. They ended up shutting down the run game, which they did with Baltimore as well. And in the beginning, Baltimore was killing it, just like Buffalo. Buffalo was killing it in that first half. Baltimore was having a lot easier of a time in that first half. Second half adjustments happened. Like I said, playoff head Andy Reid, man. He said, nah, I'm putting a stop to this shit right now. And he did. It was amazing to me. Both those games against Buffalo and against Baltimore proved to me that Andy Reid is just one of the, like, best coaches in the history of the sport.
I think that you have to give credit to both Reid and Shanahan, because I've been saying all year, Shanahan does a great job of hiding whatever deficiencies that offense has, but also putting those receivers and McCaffrey in opportune matchups where they can thrive. Reed's done the same thing this year. He's done a great job of camouflaging his, you know, bad receivers. I still stand by what I've been saying all year, which is their best wide receiver is a B-minus receiver on his best day. But again, credit to Reed. I think it's tough because Lamar, you know, they score that touchdown on that fumble at the 1 yard line. I think you've got a completely different game. I think the Chiefs are playing differently. And I think that, you know, Baltimore probably isn't as flat. They were just flat in the second half, and Lamar just couldn't move the chains like he needed to. And turnovers in these playoff games really are the difference. So I think that Baltimore will be back next year. We shall see. But, you know, this is I said it weeks ago. I say it every week, and I'm still saying it again. Mahomes is on this unbelievable run right now where he's beaten Tua, he's beaten Josh, he's beaten
Lamar,
and now he's
got a chance to go beat Brock Purdy.
That's a pretty fucking remarkable run when we keep talking about, like, is he comparable to Brady? But let's hop into that Niners game, Justin. Yes. I want to start by saying this. You know, when we talked about that Lions game, I'm sorry, when we talked about that Green Bay Niners game the prior week, we talked about how Green Bay kind of lost that game, how they had that game, how they had the momentum, and then they just lost it within the last 4 or 5 minutes. Our boy, who we've touted for months, the entire season on this show, he just fucking fell apart. And I know that team dropped a lot of those receivers dropped a lot of balls in that second half, and you have that weird, you know, ball tips off of a defender's face mask and lands in a receiver's hands. It's like a 40-yard swing after a turnover on downs. Like, this to me was just textbook Lions lost the game, not necessarily the Niners won the game. But give me some thoughts.
I mean, there was like the pick that San Francisco had. I believe it happened in like maybe the second quarter or third quarter. The ball like goes through the receiver's hands, right? The Detroit Lions guy, he's reaching out, clear shot at the ball. It was a beautiful pass by Goff. And somehow it just kind of like ends up bouncing up in the air instead of just going through his hands. I think it might have been Fred Warner ends up picking it off or something like that. And San Francisco gets the ball back. There's things that we talk about in sports where, you know, people use the term momentum, and it's a true thing. Like, the momentum can turn at any point in time. And there were several times where it looked like Detroit was going to be able to capitalize, and then the San Francisco defense would just take the ball away, and that's momentum switch right
there. I'll tell you right now what happened. They're up 17, and they have a chance to kick a field goal and go up 20. And they don't. And Campbell makes that mistake. And then they immediately, the next drive, it's within two or three plays, they get that bounce off the face mask into Ayuk for nearly a touchdown. Now you've got a double momentum whammy where you've lost the ball on downs. So now the crowd's going nuts and the momentum is swinging. And now you get that play. That's a full-on swing. That shit's shifted. Yeah. Now the crowd's going bonkers, bananas. Now you're in the end zone. Now the Lions are reeling. Now their buttholes are getting tight. They're looking at each other. It's a fucking mess. And it was all downhill from there. It was all fucking downhill.
Yes. And I was wrong. It wasn't a Goff. Goff had a pass like that that was intercepted earlier. That pass I'm talking about was the IU pass, where the defender had a clear shot at the pick. And comes instead, off it bounces off, and then IU catches the ball. Like, just in the we hear, like, if you're around sports people enough, they talk about, oh, the football gods or the basketball gods or whatever, right? Like, that shit, like, don't get me wrong, like, it is what it is, but, like, some of us believe that shit. And the 49ers had the football gods on their side that entire second half of football. Like, everything that happened just happened to go their way. And you can't script that. So, yes, conspiracy theorists in the NFL, go sit down back in your parents' basement. It's fine. It's a little damp down there. It's a little dark down there. But I'm sure you got your bag of hot, you know, hot Cheetos and, you know, your 7-Up or your 7-Eleven.
You're like Vince with the do-rag.
You're good. You're like Vince with the do-rag right now. I get it. But Like, there's no script, man. Like, you can't script that. Like, that's impossible. Like, the plays that happen that you're like, what the helmet catch, the David Tyree, you can't script that. You would need a full production crew to be able to script that. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other plays in the NFL where we sit there and watch. Like, even the, you know, even though it happened like fucking 9 years ago, the Odell Beckham Jr. one-handed catch. Like, you can't script that. Like, it's impossible. The stuff that happened in the San Francisco-Detroit game in the second half, it was just the football gods decided to flip a coin and the 49ers won.
So we've made it to the Super Bowl, Jess. Here we are. And one more thing. I think the Lions will be back. I think I know the NFC North is going to be up. You know, Green Bay is going to be better. We know that. But I think the Lions will be back. All right. We made it to the Super Bowl. Jess, two-point favorite. San Francisco. This is the last time I get to say this when it comes to a football game. Super Bowl. Who you got?
Man, it feels so final.
It really does.
I kind of wanted to bitch about the Pro Bowl before we did this, but no, here we go. I'm going to go with my gut feeling, because typically I try to like analyze things. I'm a terrible analyst because usually I'm wrong. So I'm going to go gut my gut feeling, and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win back to back Super Bowls.
Wow! So they're covering.
They're gonna win. They're gonna cover.
Final score.
Final score is going to be 27-23 Kansas City.
Wow, very good. You know, I'm in the same boat as you are. I don't know about the score. I think you're in the ballpark. I think it's going to be something like 27-23, 27-20. I think we're going to get a score like that. But I like Kansas City. I don't like what I saw from the Niners the last 2 weeks.
In either games, yeah.
I think, and I even go back to the Baltimore game, which was in December.
There you go. Yeah.
I just love what I'm seeing out of Kansas City on both sides of the field. I think, again, I mentioned it a few moments ago, their defense is rolling on all cylinders right now. They look great. Chris Jones is playing out of his mind. I know we'll be matched up with Trent Williams, so there's some equalizer there. But I think the Niners are going to have issues scoring against that defense. I think we're going to get that one, maybe two Purdy turnovers where he's trying to force a play, and that'll be the difference. And I think the Chiefs are going to do what they always do. They're going to come out. They're going to run their offense. They're going to find ways to get threes. They're going to find ways to get Kelce open. They'll find
reason. He's just going to be open.
And I think something else, Jess, the Niners have been getting ran on. Like,
that's a good point.
And you're going to – the Kansas City's going to throw those two running backs at you.
And I'll tell you what. Like, I obviously, being where, you know, where we both live out here, you know, on the West Coast of things, we don't get to watch Kansas City games very often unless they're on TV for whatever that reason is. The more I've watched, Isaiah Pacheco is a fucking stud. He will just head down and just run through bodies, and his legs do not stop churning. This kid is going to be a star.
I agree. I think the Kansas City's defense is going to be very physical this game, and they're going to give the Niners some fits with being physical. This is going to be one of those games where we see McCaffrey, you know, giving some and taking some. We're going to see Debo giving some and taking some. And I just like Kansas City here. It's funny because we really pretty much slept on them here
all year. You
know, November, December. We didn't throw them away. We never flushed them. But, I mean, they were, you know, floating in the bowl for sure. And here they are. And they find a way to figure this out. We're going to be talking about Mahomes. Like, he might be the best quarterback of all time, not named Tom Brady, or better. Like, that's just crazy to think. But also, like, just when we talked about it after the first Niners Super Bowl, you and I, we said this Mahomes kid has a ton of upside. And there is the potential, because he's so young, to win 3-4 Super Bowls. You know, at that time, we were like, 6-7, that's kind of crazy. But if he plays another 10 years, Jess, which doesn't seem impossible, he can't run into another two of these, Three of
I
these?
Mean, I would give Mahomes at least 8 solid years. I mean, that puts him at, like, 33, 34, something like that. And quarterbacks these days, athletes these days, stay in much better shape. They take better care of their body.
I'm telling you.
There's nothing to say that he can't play another 10.
You think he's good for another 2 Super Bowls?
I think he's – if you want to give me the over-under of 2, you want to give me the over-under of 2 Super Bowls, I'll take the over.
I like that. Wow, that's interesting.
And another reason for that, real quick, this is a pretty obvious thing. I know that they've worked with a very minimalist offense this year, and here they are in the Super Bowl. They have like a bazillion dollars to spend in free agency. Do you think that they're not going to go and get themselves some damn receivers?
They're going to get a DeAndre Hopkins.
They're going to go back next year. They're going to be 14-2 next year.
Do you think the Niners have a chance at winning this?
Yes. The Niners have a chance at winning, but they're going to have to play. They have to play complete
fire
four
on
quarters,
all cylinders.
Four quarters in their wild card game the divisional game. They did not play four quarters against the Green Bay Packers. They played a second half against the Green Bay Packers. The Packers had every opportunity to beat them in that game, and maybe they even should have. The Detroit Lions, same fucking thing. They play like they basically dropped the ball. They shit the bed in the first two quarters. Yep. Second half, Detroit has a collapse. San Francisco capitalizes. And
Andy Reid's not doing that.
And they win. Andy Reid is not falling apart at any point in time in this game.
He's not doing that. If anything, let me say this. The Niners have to play a perfect game. They've got to score either 28 or more. They've got to score 28 or more. It's got to be a game where it's just like Kansas City just doesn't have enough firepower. They just don't have enough fucking firepower. They can't do it. It's got to be something like that. It's got to be a no turnover game out of Purdy or a one turnover game late that doesn't matter. And their defense has to show up. They've got to basically be firing on all cylinders. Yep. It's possible. I don't think it happens.
I think it's possible. I don't think it happens. No.
I'm gonna lean specifically on the three things that you said, the three things that we've been focusing on here, that Mahomes magic, that defense, and also Andy Reid just being a little bit better of a coach. I think that's really gonna matter here when we get deep into this.
I think last comment I'll make on this game or just in general is there was a time when a head coach had a volume of knowledge on the game. And what we're seeing now is like specialty coaches becoming head coaches. Kyle Shanahan was a specialty coach because of his offensive mindset. And he is brilliant on the offensive side of the ball, but he has to look to somebody else to try to attempt the defensive side of the ball. Andy Reid can coach both. He can coach special teams. He can be the linebacker's coach, he can be the cornerback's coach, he can be the quarterback's coach. And to me, that's what makes coaches like Andy Reid special, is because they don't necessarily need somebody else. They just have them because they're supposed to be hired for the job. Andy Reid is an all-around great coach. Kyle Shanahan is a great offensively-minded coach. When his offense starts to get shut down, then that's when he goes blank.
All right, Jess, we've made it. It's wrap it up. But yes, MVP? MVP?
MVP will be Travis Kelce. He's going to go. He's going to be
Travis bet in the world.
Kelce's going to go. Bet. He's going to go over 100 yards. I'm going to say at least a buck 20. He's going to have 120
one
yards.
One touchdown.
At least one touchdown. I was going to say 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that Mahomes is going to target him a lot. And I'm going to say 120 and 2 touchdowns. He gets the MVP. He gets a big fat kiss from Taylor Swift at the end of the game. Everybody goes nuts. Mahomes gets another Super Bowl, and the Chiefs go back to back.
I love the idea of Mahomes winning the Super Bowl and his legacy being furthened, thickened, and the photo, the picture that's going to be on USA Today, the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, if they still do that, every magazine, it's going to be Taylor laying that smooch on Travis Kelce.
That's the money shot right there.
With both of them wearing them stupid Super Bowl hats. She's going to have an oversized hat. She's going to look like a rapper. All right, Jazz, hit the wrap it up button. Hey, I want to shout out Chef Jay Rollins. We're going long as fuck, but I want to shout out Chef Jay Rollins. Chef, I love you, buddy. I see you in the gym. I see you making progress. I'm proud of you. But let me say this, some constructive criticism, my friend. When you start working out, you got to start eating a little cleaner. That's it. That's all I got. I'm glad you're working out. Just start eating a little cleaner. That's it.
But definitely shout out to Chef Shay Rollins, at Chef Shay Rollins. Shay, you're our boy. We love you. Him and I were talking not too long ago. Seems that everything's like really on a good track for him. Shout out to Justin Von Doom, at Justin Von Doom. Justin, I love you, man. Glad that you're doing well. Our boy Smash Squad MMA out there just, you know, posting all the great picks of, like, you know, Mandy, what's her name? Mandy Rose.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, Mandy Rose, a little Megan Anderson. We had a little Megan Anderson action. We're all, hey, listen, that.
Smash Squad MMA, we are all part of that Megan Anderson doing well team.
Dude, she's doing well for sure. Shout out to, of course, Variety Sports for just helping us through, you know, get our name out there, and as well as like adding us to, you know, their network at Variety_Sports_. Shout out to Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. It's kind of like their all inclusive sports show. They do a bunch of stuff. Tyler's San Francisco 49ers pod, which I'm sure he's going to blow
TNB.
Up.
I hope TNB, they do. I hope we get extended TNB after the Super Bowl.
I think I'm actually going to be on TNB tonight.
You jinxed it.
So.
You did this last time.
I know. I shouldn't jinx it because we've already got jinxed today already. So, yeah. Like, hopefully I don't jinx it, but I think I'm doing it tonight. Tough. So we'll see what happens. But shout out to all those guys. Our boy Brian, B Black. Who else?
559.
Yeah,
everybody.
And even though I don't even think he's on Twitter anymore, maybe I'm wrong, but our boy Chris, if somebody can just send him some love, I gotta shoot.
He's on IG.
I gotta shoot our team toss chat and just say hi.
Ask him what he thinks winning the Super Bowl.
Haven't done that in a minute. So everybody else out there, thank you for listening. Spotify, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts as well. Folks, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the sports stuff. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Peace, God.